Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. If you are listening for the first time, welcome, and I'm so happy you're here. If you are a returning listener, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me again. As with prior weeks, if you've tuned in before, we will again be looking at the lectionary texts assigned for this week, July 10th, 2016. The lectionary texts are divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. This episode is split into two parts, and in this first part, we'll be talking about the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy as well as Psalm 25. And as I was preparing for this Bible study, the text from Deuteronomy reminds me of just how Lutheran I really am, which probably wouldn't surprise anyone that knows me. I mean, I grew up Lutheran. I grew up in the Lutheran church. I went to a Lutheran seminary. I was involved in Lutheran campus ministry as an undergrad. So naturally, my theology is going to be more Lutheran than anything else. But there are certain texts, though, that I'm going to read through my Lutheran lens. And you might read the same text from a completely different perspective, which is just great. You certainly don't have to agree with everything or anything that I have to say. My hope, though, is that as we go through these texts together, what I say might get you to thinking. Agree or disagree, my real hope is that you engage with the Word and that the Word speaks to you and your life. And as the Word speaks to you, you hear God's voice in that. You hear God's love in that. The whole point of Bible study, I think, is a deeper relationship with God, a deeper understanding of God's Word in our lives. And so I'm excited to get started with you today to discuss these texts, but first we do have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from Deuteronomy. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text we'll be discussing today is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 9 through 4. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in the book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Now, for me personally, I definitely need more context for this text from Deuteronomy. And if you've been listening these past few weeks, we've been working our way through Paul's letter to the Galatians and his assertion that we are justified by grace, not works. Paul also says that because of grace and Jesus' death and resurrection, we ourselves have died to sin and are alive in Christ. Then I come to this week's text and I read through this reading from Deuteronomy, and it seems to almost be saying the exact opposite of what we've been talking about with Paul. And so we have to try to make some sense of this. For that, I am really grateful to a commentary that I read from Catherine Schifferdecker, who's associate professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And she says that Deuteronomy, for its part, exhorts its readers over and over again to obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances. And that's from Deuteronomy 30, chapter 16, verse 16, excuse me. It's a choice, Deuteronomy says, a choice that we can make to obey or not to obey. To obey means blessing and life. Not to obey means death. And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 29 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Now, from my own perspective, this idea of choosing to obey the law is difficult because I have been taught, and I believe, that we are sinners who are completely dependent on God's grace. Now, we can try to obey the law, and here we're talking about God's law, not secular laws, because we definitely have the power to choose or to choose to obey or disobey secular laws. But what we're talking about today are God's laws, and we are sinful humans who don't often succeed in choosing to obey God's laws because we do have that sinful nature within ourselves. And we don't often succeed, which means that we will always fail when we choose the law and attempt to do it ourselves. So for more explanation on that, Schifferdecker writes, our passage for today doesn't seem to agree. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear and observe it? Neither it is beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. And again, that's Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14, which we just read. This passage, Schifferdecker says, echoes the Shema. That's the prayer that observant Jews pray twice daily, which begins with this well-known passage from Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. The word, the commandments of God are to be in the Israelites' hearts and on their lips, according to the Shema. They are to memorize them, recite them, talk about them daily. So later in Deuteronomy, when Moses assures the Israelites that the word is very near to you, it is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. It would seem to be a direct result of obeying the previous command. But the thing is, she continues, that the Israelites did not obey that command. This latter part of Deuteronomy knows of the exile and understands it as a punishment for disobedience. It is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord. They turned and served other gods. The Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, fury, and great wrath, and cast them into another land. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 29. She asks, so if the Israelites cannot obey the commandments of God at the beginning of Deuteronomy, when God calls them to love him, what makes them think they can do so at the end of the book, when they've been exiled, when they felt abandoned? And the answer there, she says, is because God promises that they will. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you may live. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And this idea of God circumcising our hearts might sound a little bit strange. I mean, we don't often think of circumcision and hearts, but of course it's not literal. It's more of a metaphor, and it means that if the Israelites cannot love God with all their heart and their soul, then God will make it possible for them to do so. God will circumcise their hearts in that God will remove their disobedience and their calloused disregard for God's covenant so that they might indeed love God and thereby live. So it's God's work, not ours, that enables us to obey the law. And this isn't an isolated reference. Schifferdecker makes reference to other places in the Old Testament with similar ideas. For instance, Ezekiel speaks of God giving Israel a new heart. God says, I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God is working through Israel to replace their hardened hearts with hearts of flesh that are more receptive to God's word and God's laws. And likewise, Deuteronomy speaks of a circumcised heart and a word that is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. In each of these cases, it is God, not humans, who make it possible for humans to be in relationship with God. Let me say that one more time. In each of these cases, it is God, not humans, who make it possible for humans to be in relationship with God. And Schifferdecker then quotes a Lutheran ethicist, Gilbert Mylander, I apologize, I'm not quite sure how to say that last name, who speaks of this grace of God that empowers God's people to be who God intends them to be. And he writes, the more God's grace empowers their lives, the more they know their need of God's pardon. And the word of pardon carries with it God's commitment to make us people who will want to live in God's presence, to make us what he says we are. Hence, God's promise is embedded in his command, you shall be holy. God's promise is embedded in God's command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your might. It's a word of law. It's also a word of promise. You shall love the Lord your God. And so all of this sounds maybe a little bit complicated. And like I said, I'm grateful for Professor Schifferdecker's commentary because while I've studied this and understand it, I've always had difficulty in explaining it. So bear with me here as we work our way through this text and some of the explanation of it. We are sinners, unable to obey the law on our own. And yet we are told that we need to hold God's law within our hearts to have it always be on our lips. Which sounds great, right? To have it in our hearts and always be on our lips means that it's close to us, means that we hold it within us, we understand it. But again, we're sinners, we're imperfect, so it's impossible for us to do this with any success. But we've also been given this amazing gift of grace. We have been set free from sin by God's promises to us, by God's covenants with us. But again, as humans, we still have free agency, we still have free will, and we are all still subject to sin, no matter how good our intentions. We can't choose to obey the law completely because we don't have that ability. But God gives us that power. God gives us that ability. When I talk about these ideas, these comments of being sinful, being full of grace with often teenagers, but even sometimes adults, they want to know, why, if we have grace, then why should we even have to worry about sinning? If we're forgiven, can't we just do whatever we want? And we do have to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about that question. If we're forgiven, why can't we just do whatever we want? So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about this text from Deuteronomy and the holding of God's law, the choosing of God's law, and how we are human and we can't do that perfectly, but we've been given this gift of grace. And before the break, I asked, if we are forgiven, can't we just do whatever we want? Why can't we do whatever we want? Because we're forgiven anyway, right? And there's a theologian, the Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who referred to this idea as cheap grace in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. And he says that cheap grace is the grace that we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Cheap grace, Bonhoeffer says, is to hear the gospel preached as follows. Of course you have sinned, but now everything is forgiven, so you can stay as you are and enjoy the consolations of forgiveness. And the main defect of such a proclamation is that it contains no demand for discipleship. And that's what he refers to as cheap grace, grace without discipleship. And in contrast to cheap grace, he also refers to costly grace, which confronts us as a gracious call to follow Jesus. It comes as a word of forgiveness to the broken spirit and the contrite heart. It is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. It is grace because Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so this leads us right back to what we've been talking about with Paul's letter to the Galatians these past few weeks. Paul writes, "Grace sets us free, and grace is free. And we can choose to do nothing with that, but continue in sin and disobedience of God's law." But when we look at it that way, why would we squander such an amazing gift in this way? Why would we be given a gift from God, a gift made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then turn around and say, "Cool, thanks for the gift. You know, this means I can do whatever the heck I want, to heck with everything and everyone else. I've been given this gift, and it doesn't matter what else is going on in the world, doesn't matter what else is happening. I have this gift, and now I can do whatever I want because I've forgiven." That's the cheap grace. That is grace without discipleship. Because while it's true that we don't have to do anything to repay that gift, our response gets to be that we are in relationship with God, and why wouldn't we want to try to do God's word, work, follow God's word, and do God's work in this world? Our response to this gift, hopefully, is one of joy, as well as one of sharing that gift with others by sharing the love that we have first been given. Now, with all of this, have I made you just simply more confused? I hope not, but I understand if I did. And I understand if your theology has taught you something different. I understand that you may have grown up with different understandings of these texts, and that's great. All we're doing here is just discussing them. I'm discussing them from my point of view, hopefully giving you a different way of looking at this, a different way of thinking of this. If you don't agree, that's cool. If you learned something new, that's great. You know, we can always continue this conversation on social media. You can reach me on Twitter at GSMC_Bible Study. So if you want to send me a quick tweet, you can do that. You can reach me on Facebook if you follow us on Facebook. So we can continue this conversation, and I can attempt to answer any questions you may have, or you can tell me that you don't agree and your tradition says something different, and that's cool. The beautiful thing about theology is that it speaks to people differently depending on their situations. It speaks to people differently depending on their circumstances and their way of thinking. So I hope I haven't made you more confused. I hope that you've gained a slightly different perspective on this text, or if it's not a different perspective, that it helped clarify your own perspective. But in the meantime, I think it's time to move on to the next reading, which is another psalm full of joy. I'm loving these psalms that we've had the past few weeks that are full of joy in the worship of God. And so our psalm for this week is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. So the psalmist begins this psalm, verse 1, by orienting himself toward God. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. And according to Jin H. Han, who is a professor of biblical studies at New York Theological University, in Hebrew, the soul is a way of referring to oneself or one's entire being. So when the psalmist says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, it's a way of orienting his entire being toward God, lifting his whole self up toward God. And the psalmist doesn't waste time in his petition, because he then moves straight to the point. First, he orients his entire being toward God, saying that it is God in whom he trusts. And then he jumps right in. He asks that God not let him be put to shame, to not let his enemies exult over him. And we can understand that clearly the psalmist has some basis in his life to be asking God to not let him be put to shame, because he immediately does speak of these enemies and asks that he not be put to shame in front of them so that they have the power to gloat over him, bringing him more shame. It's like adding insult to injuries. I've got these enemies in my life, and to make it worse, now I'm shamed in front of them, and it's given them more power to bully me, to gloat over me. And shame in the biblical sense has a deeper meaning than we might associate with shame in our modern sensibilities. The loss of honor is debilitating. It's a debilitating situation in biblical terms. Again, according to Professor Han, in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist mentions shame repeatedly with three words derived from the same root. From the psalmist's perspective, God should prevent him from being humiliated. First, it adversely affects those who wait for God. That's verse 3. And the Hebrew word that signifies waiting shares the same etymology, shares the same root system with the word for hope. The root originates from this practice of making thread by twisting fibers together. So God cannot let down those who hope and wait for God's intervention, anxiously wringing their hands. Because the psalmist has this hope and trust in God, he then wants to be taught God's ways and be led on God's paths. So first he's giving this petition to God, saying, don't let me be put to shame. I have trust in you. I have hope in you. And because the psalmist has this hope and trust in God, he then moves from the petition to wanting to be taught God's ways and be led on God's paths. He already has this trust in God. He's already prayed that God will not shame him in front, not let him be shamed. And now he's saying, and in order to deepen our relationship, I want to continue this path. I want to be led on your paths, and I want to be taught your ways. The psalmist has reason to trust in God, saying, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. And when he says God's mercy and steadfast love have been from old, he refers to the longevity of God's promises. He doesn't specifically refer to God's saving acts throughout history, but his words encompass all of God's saving acts, God's loving acts. And this is the reason that the psalmist trusts in God's ability to be his salvation, to protect and keep him from both his enemies and from shame. And we do have to take our second break real quick. We're going to just take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll finish talking about this psalm. We'll talk more about what the psalmist is asking God for, what he's hoping for from God. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we had been talking about Psalm 25 and the psalmist's trust in God, the psalmist's wanting to learn more about God's ways, to be led on God's paths. And the psalmist also asks God not to remember his sins and transgressions. As a fallible human being, he makes a straightforward confession of his sins. He is neither able nor willing to claim innocence on the basis for God's aid, as the basis for God's aid. He can rely only on God's mercy and God's steadfast love. And I actually think that this psalm is a really good pairing with this week's reading from Deuteronomy, because the psalmist understands that he has sinned in his life, and yet his trust in God's steadfast mercy and love is unwavering. He trusts God with all of his being. He knows that the word has been put on his lips and in his heart. He trusts God with all of his soul, and as such feels secure in asking for God's continued protection, to be continually kept in God's love and mercy. And this is a prayer that I feel like I could definitely pray on a regular basis, because we've all been given the gifts of God's grace and mercy and steadfast love. And what better response can we have than that of this psalmist? We can put our trust in God's promises. We can turn to God with our entire being, knowing that we will be kept in God's protection. Now, we spoke in Deuteronomy about how we can't choose the law, but that God helps us do that. God makes us able to choose the law. Without God, we cannot do that. So what we can do is put our trust in God, knowing that God is there for us, knowing that God protects and keeps us. And we spoke in a couple of episodes that protect means, in a deeper sense, to be kept by God. We asked for God's protection. We asked to be kept in relationship with God, trusting in God, knowing that we cannot do it ourselves, that we are human, that we are sinful, that we make mistakes, that we screw up on a regular basis. It's just all part of being human, but we can put our trust in God because God's promises, God's mercy, God's steadfast love is rooted in this whole history of God's covenants, God's relationship with the people, God continually working with God's people to be in relationship with them, continually saying, I am here, I have made you these promises, I am in relationship with you, I am keeping you in relationship with me. And so what better response than to put our trust in God and say to God, I want to learn more about your love, your promises, the ways. Teach me your ways so that I can go out into the world and teach others, or to walk in the path that you are leading me on. The psalmist understands that he, of course, isn't perfect, that he has sinned in his life. And yet this makes him trust in God all the more, because he knows that he's not perfect. He knows he can't do it on his own. And so he knows that the best thing he can do is to put his trust in God, knowing that God's love and mercy are both steadfast, both proven through time and promises and covenants through history. God's love is steadfast. And this psalm is a wonderful reminder of just how amazing God's love and mercy are in our lives. We are wise then to put our trust in God. We are wise to say to God, teach me your ways, knowing that we can't do it by ourselves, knowing when we go back to that text from Deuteronomy that it can be difficult, but we have God. And so it's this whole situation where ultimately we rely on God. We rely on the promise that God will protect us, God will keep us in relationship. And we are wise, as I said, to put our trust in God, because God's love is steadfast. God's love is constant, and God's mercy is constant. And so I think that's a really good place to end this week's episode, on God's continued, constant, ever-present, steadfast love and mercy that we can put our trust in and know that that trust will never fail. And so thank you for joining me as we discuss the readings from Deuteronomy and Psalm 25 that were assigned for the week of July 10th, 2016. Join me again on Wednesday as we move to the New Testament readings from Colossians 1 and Luke 10. As a reminder, always, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Google Plus. I think there's one more, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. I apologize. So thank you for joining me. Thank you again for joining me. Join me again on Wednesday. But in the meantime, always remember that you are a beloved child of God.